Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to another morning devotional in the Psalms. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and it is good to be together with you again for another time in the Psalms. Psalm 58 this morning. It's a psalm about coming judgment. It's one of those ones that's sometimes perceived as kind of darker, but really, where else are we going to get final and perfect justice if not from God? And when Jesus comes, he will bring that. So it's a psalm that looks forward to that and celebrates that. Just a quick announcement about our Sunday morning worship services. I sent out an email yesterday about this, and hopefully you got it, but we're going to be doing 9:30 worship time, really for the foreseeable future, as long as it's hot, gathering at the Sharon Pavilion in at the 4-H camp out there in Street Rocks area, the Rock State Park area. So that's where we're going to be gathering for worship, 9:30 in the morning, out there at the Sharon Pavilion. It's a nice big shady area with cover in case it rains lightly, shade to deal with the heat. It's right close to the Deer Creek. There's a big field for kids to run around in. We can't provide nursery care, but people with young children should feel comfortable coming out, and you can just sort of sit toward the back and your kids can, you know, be kids and they're not going to bother anybody, and the speakers are plenty loud enough to be able to hear. Yes, we will still be live streaming for the foreseeable future, but we're just moving everything to 9:30 just to try to get out of the heat, because like this Sunday is supposed to be 96 for the high, but from 9:30 till, you know, 10:45, it's going to still be in the lower 80s, so that'll be much better. Okay, so that's all the announcement. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into Psalm 58 together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for just being our faithful God and for loving us so much, for being just and holy and perfect in all of your ways. Father, we live in a world where we can be so often frustrated by the lack of justice, terrible Supreme Court decisions and awful actions by governmental leaders and corruption and criminal enterprises that choke hold the world. Father, it's sad to see. And then your people are being persecuted in so many parts of the world in ways that just seem to never change. And it can be frustrating. So help us, Father, this morning as we look to Psalm 58 to see your true eternal perspective on this world and what you will do when Christ comes again. So we look to you as we look to Psalm 58 to hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 58 is written to the choir master according to Do Not Destroy. That title appears in, I think, 5 or 6 different psalms. It's probably the tune that it is set to, but because it means do not destroy, it probably is also a plea for God to be gracious to his people and not allow them to be destroyed by their enemies. That seems to be kind of a theme in the Psalms that have that in the title. It is a miktam of David, as we've said before. A miktam is a teaching psalm, so it's written to instruct us in what is right. So, Psalm 58. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? No. In your hearts you devise wrongs. Your hands deal out violence on earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the death adder that stops its ear so that it does not hear the voice of charmers or the cunning enchanter. O God, break the teeth in their mouths. Tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them vanish like water that runs away. When he aims his arrows, let them be blunted. Let them be like the snail that dissolves into slime, like the stillborn child who never sees the sun. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, whether green or ablaze, may he sweep them away. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. I told you it was considered by some to be a little bit dark, and I can understand why. But if you can understand what David himself had been through in his life, maybe you can understand where some of this is coming from. I mean, remember that King Saul, who was the king of Israel, who was God's anointed to lead God's people in this world, hunted down David, and he had an army of 3,000 who were willing to join him to hunt down, to try to kill David, even though David was completely innocent, and twice had an opportunity to kill Saul and chose not to, and yet Saul still pursued David. In Saul's pursuit of David, there was a time when David went to Abiathar, the priest, and into the tabernacle, and he got some bread to feed the small band of men who were with him as they were fleeing. And Doeg the Edomite saw this. And Doeg the Edomite went to Saul and said, hey, David is hiding out with Abiathar, the priest, at the tabernacle. And so King Saul sent Doeg the Edomite, and they went and they slaughtered all of the priests at the tabernacle, and Abiathar was able to escape. But that's the king of Israel ordering that all the priests of Israel should be massacred because he, you know, this Edomite saw David with them. And then Absalom, of course, rebelled against David and slept with David's concubines in the sight of all of Israel. And for so many of these things, what you see is the people just sort of go along with it. And that's just what David experienced. So you think about what we've seen in the history of the world, you know, whether it's an Adolf Hitler killing 11 million people, including 6 million Jews, whether it's Stalin arising and starving to death and killing 20 million of his people, or whether it's ISIS beheading Egyptian Christians on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea in northern Libya and putting it on social media as a video to celebrate this massacre of God's children, or whether it's, you know, the corruption that we see in some governments of the world, like North Korea, which is basically a criminal enterprise that runs a country, and they deal drugs and weapons all around the world, and they oppress their people. You know, it's just everywhere. Or, you know, in our own country, we see gang violence that claims thousands of lives a year. We see, you know, people who just would rather make money than care about human life, people who will kill other people for a pair of sneakers, or will rob a store and then just shoot the store owner for no particular reason. It's just, we live in a world that's dark and it's full of evil, right? And if you are someone who cares about love and justice, if you care about right, then this world ought to frustrate you. It ought to anger you. There is such a thing as righteous anger. And that's really what we see from David here. He's challenging the rulers of the world when he says, do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? This word gods is Elohim. It's the mighty ones. So he's talking to the rulers of the world, and he's saying, do you really think you judge what is right? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? We don't need to go to the far corners of the world to see evidence of this. Right here in America, we have Supreme Court justices who continue to uphold the right to kill innocent babies in the womb. More than 60 million babies have been killed in America, torn apart, poisoned, destroyed in the womb legally in my lifetime. 60 million. It's almost a million a year. And just this past Supreme Court term, the Supreme Court again said, yes, that's a constitutional right. You have a constitutional right to take the life of an innocent, helpless human being. Do you decree what is right? Do you judge uprightly? No, you don't. No, you don't. And there is this holy anger that should stir within our heart. And then there's this imprecatory prayer. If you've ever heard that term before, an imprecatory prayer is when you're praying to God for just vengeance on the enemies of righteousness. And this is one of the strongest imprecatory prayers in the Psalms. And break the teeth in their mouths, tear out the fangs of the young lions. Here he's saying, take away their power and their ability to be able to hurt others. Remove from them that strength that they boast in that allows them to oppress the innocent and the poor. And he just continues his imprecatory prayer in those lines. And then we get to the end, and I believe the last two verses of Psalm 58 are a reference to the day of judgment. When is it that the righteous will see the vengeance on the evil? And when is it that mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous? Surely there is a God who judges on earth? I don't think this is going to happen short of that day that's coming when Jesus will come again, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, the day of wrath of the Lamb of God, when Jesus comes again to judge the world. And the Bible uses very strong language to refer to this day of wrath. There's people who have this sort of weak, mamby-pamby, sort of willy-nilly view of God, where God isn't really just or wrathful, and he's not going to take vengeance, and sort of, you know, everybody's going to get to heaven because, you know, God loves everybody. God is angry with the wicked every day, the Bible tells us. And when Jesus returns, he will slay the enemies of God's people with the sword of his mouth. And on that day, two things will happen. The righteous will rejoice when they see the vengeance of God. The righteous will rejoice. They will say, yes, God has finally come and done what he was promised to do. And all of the world will see that there is a reward and there is a God. There's a reward for the righteous and there's a God who judges. Now you might think, oh, Pastor Jason, this is Old Testament theology. You're just giving us all this negative Old Testament stuff. I'm a New Testament Christian. All right, let's jump to the New Testament then, shall we? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 5 to 10. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. That's a pretty strong and pretty powerful word, and it's meant to bring comfort to God's people. Christians remain today the most persecuted group in the world. More Christians suffer discrimination, exclusion, arrest, imprisonment, and death because of their Christian faith than any other group in the world suffers for their identity, whether that's a racial, ethnic, or religious identity. More Christians around the world suffer discrimination, harassment, imprisonment, beating, death, confiscation of property, destruction of churches all around the world. There's churches that burn in America. There's more systematic campaigns of violence in other parts of the world because people in their evil rebellion against God hate God and hate God's people. And one day Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. Now, that ought to do two things for us. One, it ought to motivate us to more faithfulness in missions and evangelism, because we want to get the gospel out to the nations so that more and more can come to know God while the day of mercy still stands, while the day of grace still stands, before the day of vengeance comes. We ought to be more motivated to share the good news of Jesus with the world. But the second thing it ought to do is comfort our hearts and cause us to rejoice, because we will not ever find perfect justice in this world. Not that we shouldn't try to strive for justice in the world, right? It's not wrong to strive for justice in the world, but we're never going to see perfect justice in this world. Perfect justice is only going to come when the Lord Jesus comes again. So it should motivate us, and it should comfort us, and it should help put life into perspective when we remember these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are holy, 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 that you are the judge of all the earth and that you never do wrong. Your judgments are true and righteous altogether. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are unfailing and unfading in your perfect righteousness and holiness. Lord Jesus, how we long for that day when you will come to judge the earth. And our hearts cry out, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Until that day, make us faithful to share the good news with a world that desperately needs to hear it. Until that day, make us more faithful in supporting missions that go out to the ends of the earth to take the gospel to new tribes and tongues and peoples and nations. Until that day, strengthen your persecuted people and give them boldness and courage to testify to the truth about Jesus. Until that day, may the light of Christ shine in this world until he comes again and we see him face to face. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me again this morning for Time in the Psalms. Planning on doing it again next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We'll just continue on Psalms 59, 60, 61. And hopefully I'll see you on Sunday, those of you who are in the local area, Sunday morning at 9:30 out at the 4-H camp in Rock Street at the Sharon Pavilion at 9:30. And we'll be live streaming these same places, YouTube and Facebook, at 9:30 on Sunday morning. So have a wonderful, blessed day.